Okay, we're up to Perek Samach Vav Pasuk Hey. Samach Vav Pasuk Hey, Shimu Dvar Hashem Hachar Reidim El Divaro. Now, this, the end of Yeshaya is extremely difficult. It's extremely, if you think the beginning of Yeshaya was difficult, this is really extremely mystical. It's not just referring to time Olam Haba, it's referring to different events that are going to take place during the time of Olam Haba. And I'm not going to make believe that I know this. I certainly don't understand what it's referring to. But the basic idea, as Rav Schwab explains, and it's brought out in various Midrashim, Amarei Chazal, we're dealing with the end of days, and at the end of days there's something called Beiruim. Beiruim means selection. Among the survivors, those that will be present, those that will survive the Milchemes Goyim u'Magoyim, there will be different groups of Jews, and there will be different groups of non-Jews. Among the survivors, Hashem will select some, and will reject others. Again, we don't know what this means. It also appears that at this point in time, there will be a great polarization, which means that tzaddikim will intensify their righteousness, and the rishoyim will intensify their rebellion, their wickedness. Again, these are not clear things. We'll do the psukim, we'll see, so we'll try to bring out some of these ideas. But at this point in time, we're discussing, at least in Pasuk Hey, according to some interpretation, we are discussing Jews. Okay, and there are going to be two different types of Jews. There's going to be the hacharedim, okay, those that are chored l'dvar Hashem, fear the word of Hashem. I once heard a shir not so long ago. I don't remember who gave the shir. I heard it on a tape. I don't remember who I heard it from, but he discussed that today, you turn on the radio, you read the newspaper, and the Jewish newspapers or the Jewish media, there's a term, charedim. Orthodox Jews are called charedim, and the secular Jews that are not yet Orthodox are called chilonim. So he analyzed this term, and he gave examples that this is a very modern, very recent expression that has been applied to Orthodox Jews. So you can go back 20, 30 years ago, it was unheard of to use the word charedim in reference to an Orthodox Jew. It was a derogatory term. It basically meant an extremist. It meant a fundamentalist. It was not something which was used to refer to, say, it's an innocent word. It means someone that's Shomer Shabbos and is observant of the religion, pretty much is called in Eretz Yisrael called a Haredi. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I mean, black. I mean,
I don't think so. People out of the
Bnei Akiva. Okay. Even they are becoming are more and more. But okay. So you're right. So it refers then more to Hasidim. Hasidim Bnei Torah. They are called Haredim, right? I mean, black hatters, Hasidim. They are called. So he says that, I don't remember who it was. Years ago, you would never call a religious person a Chassid or a Ben Torah a Haredi. That was like saying he's like what you would say today in the Turi Karta.
Well, that's where the expression the Haredim was to this in the Torah
Kart. Ah, okay, interesting.
In other words, let's say someone belonged to Poli Agudas Yisrael.
Yeah.
You would not label the Haredim.
Right. Even today you wouldn't necessarily call them Haredim. Okay.
Now that what they did, they took the term Haredim. It's a rubber band.
Right. And they expanded it. Right.
And then they created an umbrella.
But it doesn't necessarily even have a bad connotation today. Today it just refers to a certain segment of Jews. I don't think today when you read in the New York Times, they Haredim, or hear on the news, it's interpreted by the average person like myself as a negative, just a certain, as a defining statement referring to a certain type of Jew, ultra-Orthodox Jew.
And that was the... these labels change.
These change, exactly.
All the time.
It change, yeah.
Ultra-Orthodox to fervently...
Right. So I'm just saying that it's an interesting thing this term, it just made an impression on me, and he gave examples. I don't remember the details, but he gave examples where years ago, even 20, 30 years ago, you would never refer to a chassid with the term Haredi, because Haredi was a term, a label that was reserved for an extremist.
It's called the Hasidic Shiite.
Right. Is a term that was a derogatory term. That was, it's a label for totally off the deep end. Completely extreme, not accepted in society. But that's not the way it is there. But here's where it comes from. I mean, that if you want to know where it comes from, it's in Tanakh many places, all over the place. I assume that this is the most popular Makar because this Haftar, this Perek is extremely popular. We lay in it at least 2 times a year, I think. We lay in Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh falls out every so often. And we lay in this Haftarah. And Shimu Dvar Hashem HaCharedim El Devaro. And in this Pasuk, we're comparing the Charedim, we're comparing the Charedim to the irreligious Jews. This pasuk is going to lay out for us two different segments of Klal Yisrael. Religious and anti-religious. Now, I shouldn't say anti-religious because there are many interpretations. Pasuk is subject to various interpretations. Let's win one thing at a time. According to Rashi and the Mitsudos, it refers to anti-religious people. Hacharedim, the religious. El Devar, those that fear the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or the Mitsudos Sion, he says a little, I always say Charichor, you're afraid. It's not what he says. In the Mitsudos Sion, he says Hamamahamam Maharin. Interesting translation. Those that are quick, swift. Those that are swift. There's reason swift to fulfill the word of Hashem. El Devaro, Hacharedim El Devaro. Not necessarily. Rashi adds another word. See, look at Rashi. Hacharei Hatzadikim, Hamim Maharim. They are swift. Bacharodah. That's, I think, what we are. We are common. That's the common uncommon connotation that we attach to the word Charedim. Terror. Vayechrad Yitzchok. He shook. He was terrorized. He was so afraid. He saw the Pischa Shel Gehenim open beneath him when he realized he gave the bracha to he who was not who he thought it was. He thought he was giving it to Esav. Now he realized he gave it to someone else. He shook. He saw the Pischa Shel Gehenim open beneath him. That's how Rashi adds Hamatzadikim Hamaharim Bacharada Lehiskarev, to come close El Devar. Third term, to come close to his word. Well, that's part of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says El Devar. No, it's not part of the Pasuk. El Devar. But all the Mitzudah says the word Hamaharim. Okay, fine. Omru Achechem, your brothers. So we're dealing here with Jews. We're not dealing here with Goyim. Throughout Yeshaya, throughout Nach, you know, we always either you're a Jew or you're not a Jew. There's very little gray area. Either all the Jews are sinners or all the Jews are tzaddikim. The Amech Kulam Tzaddikim, or the beginning of Yeshaya, Lamali Roiv Zivachem Yamar Hashem. Hashem says to the entire Klal Yisrael, you're all a bunch of sinners. And we ask a question, is everyone a sinner? But there has to be a couple of tzaddikim out there. So the answer always is, they should have protested. And because the tzaddikim didn't protest enough, so they're also sinners. So it's always black and white. There's no gray area. Here, all of a sudden, we have two different types of Jews. Yeah?
Yeah, I don't want to belabor the point you said here. Religious and anti-religious, but you left out the largest group, non-religious.
That's the point I'm trying to make.
You had the religious, non-religious,
right,
and anti-religious.
Exactly. That's the point. That's the point I'm trying to make. There's a polarization here in this pasuk. That's what's very strange. In this pasuk, we're dealing with the time of the Yemos HaMashiach, what we call the Zman of Beiruim, and at that point in time, you're not in the middle. There's no middle road. You're either an extremist in one direction or to the extreme in the other direction. That's what's very disturbing and very strange about this pasuk. So, okay, let's go further. Yeshu Hashem Hachadim El Devaro. Amru Achechem, your brothers. Who are your brothers? Jews. Only a Jew is called your brother. They don't say this about non-Jews. So Ne'echem, your enemies. We're dealing here with Jews, irreligious Jews, that are the enemies of the Charedim, of the religious Jews. They just don't get along. Minadechem, and what do these irreligious Jews say? They nidui. They push you away, the irreligious Jews, the anti-religious Jews, they push away the religious Jews, and they say to you religious Jews, you're extremists, you're crazy, you're off the wall, you're doing things which are not proper. And then they go further to say, this is like, really, it's amazing what the pasuk here says, I strongly encourage you to read Rav Schwab. It's very difficult what this is, but what I'm saying to you is straight out of Rav Schwab, how he reads, how he interprets this based upon the Rashi and the Mesudas. He clearly interprets this as a reference to anti-religious Jews, and they say the following, Leman Shemi Yichbar Hashem. The anti-religious Jews say this is what God wants. God wants our way of life. He wants a secular state, a state that is completely void of religion. We are Jews, and God will be honored in this world through our new form of anti-religious conduct. I mean, that's hypocrisy. How could you be believe in God, and it's only going to be through our way of life? That I will read the Mitzvot from Rashi in a moment. Leman Shemi Yichbad Hashem. For me will Hashem be honored in this world. If you'll follow our form of service without any religious service, just be a good Jew living in the Holy Land, living in that, I don't know what you want to call it, holy, living in this land, and that's the way the world will continue to succeed. The pasuk concludes, then the end will be they will be shown wrong, they will be proven wrong. They will see the day will come when they will, these irreligious or anti-religious Jews will witness the joy, the simcha of the religious Jew, the haim, and their yevosh will be ashamed. Okay, now let's read the Mitzvot and Rashi, because there's a lot going on in this pasuk. And then there's a very important medrash which interprets the pasuk entirely differently. Let's read the pasuk from beginning to end. Pasuk hey, Shimud Ashimu. Listen, who is Yeshaya addressing here in this nevuah? Atem hatzadikim hacharedim el devar Hashem. Those that are quick to fulfill the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, la'asoysam, to do the word of Hashem, Shimud Hashem. Omru, who is speaking? The poishei Yisrael. Achechem, Jews, not Goyim. Jews, what do they say? Achechem, hasoinim eschem, who hate you. Your irreligious Jew brothers who hate you. Hamenadim, who need means to push away, to excommunicate. Leharchik eschem, to push you far away. Kimasha Omar, like we learned back in the previous perek, ha'oimim kirav elecha, those who say to you, go close to yourself. Instead of telling a person, come near to me, the way you tell a person to get lost is, come close, not to me, come close to yourself. It's an expression. Get lost, get out of here.
Today the term is to marginalize.
To marginalize, okay. Kirav Yelecha, go close to yourself. Hine, behold, Haim Amru, what do they say, these anti-religious Jews? Leman Shemi Yichbad Hashem. What does that mean? Rotzo Leimar, Ba'avur Pirsum Shemi, for the sake of my fame, Bo Kovod LaHashem. What does that mean? Ki Anu Kroivim Elav, because the truth is we're better than you. We who are anti-religious are better. We're closer to Hashem, closer to God. And Hashem is honored through us. Look, open up a newspaper. If you see a Haredi, someone with a beard and a hat, and the goyim look at this, they look like crazy. They look like the Amish. But if they see and they see someone that's not wearing a yarmulke and doesn't dress like the goyim, oh, then the goyim relate to us. Then we're all one and the same. And look how successful we are. We have a strong economy and we have a successful land and we accomplished, and we're the greatest nation in the world. So then the Jew, the world looks up to the Jew. But they'll only look up to the Jew if the Jew behaves like the non-Jew and does not practice these ancient customs that Orthodox Jews have been practicing from modern Torah. That's what they say. Pasuk concludes, Hashem says to Yeshaya, yeah, we'll see. We'll see who will be from where salvation will come. Venire, avoloi kein hu kidirehem. Pasuk says it's not the way it's going to be. Ki be'einenu nire, with our own eyes, nire, be'einenu nire, with their own eyes, their eyes, nire, they will see b'simchaschem, they will see your joy. They will see at the end of days that you, the tzaddikim, are the ones who are correct, and following, being true to the Mesorah, is what brings simcha. V'horoshohim hohen, and these wicked people, yevoshu, they will be be ashamed, al ki hoku achar hahevel, because they have followed futility and nonsense. They have abandoned the Mesorah, the traditions of their fathers. So this pasuk again is discussing what's called Beiruin. We're discussing the time already when Mashiach already has come, or it's just about come, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is selecting from the group of Jews. He's polarizing them. Those who are observant will become even more observant. Those who choose to be irreligious, anti-religious, will become even more anti-religious. There's not going to be anything in the middle. You can't have, like we have in America, a pair of irreligious Jew. It's either you're religious, observant, or anti-religious. Kol sha'on mi, and let's just do the Rashi, and I've got the Rashi. Let's do the Rashi, and we'll do the Medrash. Ha'charedim el devar, ha'tzadikim ha'maharim el charod, l'skar v'lag el devar, we did Amr ha'chichem, poshay Yisrael, ha'niskam l'malo, referring back to the Jews that we mentioned in the previous parak, devar acher, Amru ha'chichem, minadeichem, asha Amru suru tomei, another pasuk is referring to your brothers, either two different examples referring to parak Dalit or parak Samachay, but it's the same idea, referring to the poshay, to irreligious Jews who are pushing away, who hate their religious brothers. So nachem min adichem, ha'imim krav ilecha al tegibi, l'man shmiyich bar Hashem, big dula seinu, through our greatness, through our success of living a life without Torah and mitzvos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mischabed, Hashem will be honored. She'onu kroivim lo yoser mikem. We, Hashem, will be honored through our way of life more than through the religious way of life. But the pasuk includes, according to Rashi, "V'nir b'simchaskem behem yivoshu." Hanavi Omer, Yeshaya says, "Avoloichenhu kidivrehem." They're wrong. The religious Jew, anti-religious Jew, who mocks the observant Jew, will say it's not so. Kidivrehem ki b'simchaskem nireh. They will see your joy. Behem yivoshu lama. And now we go into the next pasuk. Let's jump now to the next pasuk. Pasuk vav. Kol sha'on meir. There is a great roar. Show means a loud sound that comes forth from within the city. Kol mehichol. Where in the city is this? Each part of this pasuk is coming to specify, to be more precise. Where from the city is there a roar, a loud sound emanating? It's kol mehichol. It's from the Beis Hamikdash. What's the voice? It's kol Hashem. It's the sound of Hashem. Mishalem gemul le'oivav. That is paying, punishing. Gemul means due. To le'oivav, to his enemies. Hashem now is coming to punish his enemies. So at this point in time, at the very, very end, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is selecting the tzaddikim for himself and giving them joy and causing those that are anti-religious pain, the pain will come in the form of realizing this extremely mystical pasuk, which we have no understanding what it means, a voice, a coil of Hashem that will come out from the Beis HaMikdash, and this sound itself is what will punish Hashem's enemies. Let's conclude the Rashi. Ki kol sho'im shalohem, because ki kol sho'im shalohem bo lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu mima sho'osu be'ir. So here Rashi is learning the pasuk not like I explained the pasuk according to the mitzudos. Let's first do the mitzudos, then we'll come back to Rashi. What does this pasuk vav mean? Kol sho'im be'ir. Oz yotze kol sho'im be'ir tzion. At that point in time when Hashem selects the tzaddikim, there's going to be a loud voice that comes out of the Beis HaMikdash. The choy from Tzion, from Yerushalayim. The choy is a mafarish shayotza kol mi min hahechal Hashem. Ho'ei made with Tzion. It's coming to specify where exactly in Tzion does this voice come from. Ule tosefes beir amu shezehu kol Hashem. This is the sound of Hashem. Hayotze le'ayim al akum. It's coming to terrify the goyim. Okay, it's coming not to terrify the Jews who are anti-religious, according to the Mitzudos. It's coming to terrify the Goyim. L'shalem lohem lo'ayvav. What? Akum is oyved kav mazalos.
So these are not the Jews.
Akum is usually used in reference to non-Jews. I don't know if that's necessarily the case here. I don't know the answer. Usually, whenever it says Akum, it's a reference to non-Jews. Even though technically speaking you could say that a Jew who worships idols, also called an Akum, he's Oyveid Koychav Masalos, that's not the way it's usually used. It's usually used in reference to a pure Amayuchas. It's used... Well... Right. For a goy, for a real goy, not a Jew.
So is that a kesher back to Pesach?
Well, yes and no. Let's see. Yes. Al akum l'shalim gemul oivav heim goy gemul k'mashom av yetzi Hashem v'milcham begoyim. According to the mitzvah, it appears not. According to the mitzvah, it appears that it's a new theme. That at this point in time, it's an independent pasuk. It's if it's a parsha break, Hashem is going to punish the Rishoyim, referring specifically to Goig u'Magog. The Melchemes Goig u'Magog will take place at the time, and simultaneously there will be a selection, polarization between two different segments of the Jewish people. Rashi is not learning the pesukim like that. Rashi is connecting the pesukim. You go to Rashi, the end of that Rashi. Why will they be embarrassed? Aris Lama, Rashi says, why will the Jewish people, the anti-religious Jewish people, be embarrassed? He called Sha'in Shalohem because their loud voice, their complaint, their statement that it's better to serve Hashem without the traditions of Torah mitzvos, and through that and that way the world will respect the Jewish people. Bo lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem has heard this argument. Mima she'asu bi'iro, and Hashem looks at his city. He sees the damage they have done. The call yoytzei mehecholoi umekatreg al macharivav, and a voice comes out from the Beis Hamidrash and complains against those irreligious, anti-religious Jews who have destroyed it. The achrei kein call Hashem meshalim gemul oivav, and then Hashem will punish his enemies, referring simply to these people. So according to Rashi, Rashi learns when the pasuk vav, when it says call shon meir, it refers not to Hashem's voice. It refers to the roar of these people in the previous pasuk who are anti-religious, their argument that Hashem will be honored through our way, our service, it comes forth from the ear, and then we have the call, then we put a comma, and then we begin. Hashem responds, I am not happy with this. I've heard what you've done and what you've caused, and my response is a kol mehechol, which the kol Hashem, he's going to punish these people meshalim gemul oivav. Now I don't have to give you examples. Rav Shrabi gets very specific. He talks about different things that happened when the state of Israel was established by irreligious Jews. And there were many Gedolei Yisrael that viewed the Eretz Yisrael, the Medina, as a schalto de geula. And many shuls, I'm sure they say it here, Reish Atzmichas Kelo Seidu. The many Gedolim, many different opinions. That's not a topic for now. But we also know it's not that it's clear as day that there were many people involved in the establishment of the state of Israel, and that was not their kavana. And Rav Schwab, Mamash, takes these two psukim, the Beirut, and he ties it into, it stares out at you. He ties it into modern history, to the state of Israel, to the view of those that viewed the state of Israel as a rejection of religion. We no longer need to be religious. He even writes that we no longer need Mashiach. The fact that we have the state of Israel is better than Mashiach. He says, and Hashem says, I don't go for this. That's not the type of goal that I had in mind. Kol Sha'on Meir, this argument, this roar, has been heard from my city. I'm not pleased with this. Instead, a kol mehechol is going to be a call of response that will come out of the Beis Hamidrash. Kol Hashem meshalim gemul oivav. Okay, you can interpret this as you like, but it's definitely very, very interesting. That's a very interesting concept, the concept of polarization. And it's so true. In Eretz Yisrael, there's no middle ground. It's very, what? Today, maybe more, there's more.
If there were no middle ground.
Okay, today, I take it back. Years ago, I remember as a child, I also read this from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. I remember that some of this goes back probably 50 years ago. Today it's different, I take it back. Even the author who wrote this, he writes also that today it's different. But 50 years ago, someone asked Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, should I go, now that there is Eretz Yisrael, the yeshiva, should I go and make aliyah, ikzud the Mashiach, I got to go to Eretz Yisrael and live near Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so Yaakov Kamenetsky basically told him, this is how I remember it. And I again, today, this is 50 years later, there's nothing to talk about. My own, half of my own family lives in Eretz Yisrael, so who am I to say? But he told him, no, I don't think you should go, because in Eretz Yisrael, at that time, it's a land of extremes. Either there are heavy-duty Haredim, or there's the other extreme. It's very hard to find middle ground. In America at that time, there's middle ground. And the average person is much more prone to succeed in an environment where you have more options. You don't have to be one way or the other way. Again, today, 50 years later, it's a different world. Eretz Yisrael, you have all different... Wherever you want, you can be in Eretz Yisrael. I'm not familiar with it. I say my whole family have all different types of people. Everyone finds their own mahalach in Eretz Yisrael. But there's something to it. There is this thing called polarization. You either complain. I don't know if you have to apologize. They complain today here among the yeshiva world in Brooklyn of this problem. That it's either there's no college and there's no parnasa and you're totally involved in the right wing, or it's the other extreme. Only 30 years ago, the average person who finished went to all the Haredi yeshivas had a PhD. And today, how many people do we have today? Really, how many people do we have today that are coming out of the traditional yeshivas, Chaim Berlin, Tor Vadas, Samir Yeshiva? How many people that graduate from these yeshivas have PhDs?
And the children have no college at all.
Altogether, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, and yet...
A whole slew of doctors, MDs, whose children learn full-time
and did not even go to college. And then there are even yeshivas today which are giving boys an option not even to go to high school, to have a secular education in high school. So there is this thing, and yet the people today who are, not everyone, but many of the people today who are very successful in the professional field are not graduates of the traditional yeshivas. What?
Starting to see
polarization.
Yeah.
The polarization in America.
Those doctors though, coming. If you look at downstate medical school, you would see quite a few men and women of yeshiva.
So its tide is turning a little bit. A little bit. I don't even know how much, in proportion to what degree, but there is this concept of polarization. In Eretz Yisrael, it's definitely a lot truer. There, it's, you know, it's one way or the other. And here, in America, there's no question.
You have that, always had in Israel, even in 48.
Yeah.
You had the right-wing Chevrut, which we could always most probably label non-religious, but not necessarily anti-religious.
Okay,
in other words,
I understand what you're saying.
They light candles Friday night and watch television.
Okay.
But they were not anti-religious.
I understand. I understand. Look, today in Eretz Yisrael, Yom Kippur, of what I've heard, the whole country observes Yom Kippur.
Pretty much.
The whole country.
Talk about the Seder, talk about the candle.
Everyone, even the anti-religious, observe. They step back. It's Yom Kippur. It's different. It's a different day. In America, Yom Kippur, someone who's not religious, so you go to work, big deal, you just don't think about it. You get lost, you just don't think about it. Narrative show, even the anti-religious, Yom Kippur, I'm not going to...
At least there's an awareness.
An awareness, exactly. It's a holy country. But I just want to emphasize this point that the Achris Hayamim, we have here what's called Beiruim, and we have this concept of polarization, and it's brought out very clearly here in these two psukim, Pasuk Hei and Pasuk Vav. Now there's a Medrash, and the Medrash puts an entirely different spin on the entire thing. And I'll read you the Medrash inside. Darshav Yehuda Berbi Yalai, Maidach Siv Shivud Rashem, HaCharedim El Devorah. Who are the Charedim? Who are the Charedim? So don't get so excited. It doesn't mean an extremist, someone who's... it means Elu Talmidei Chachamim. It means people who are sholim in their learning. They know Chumash, they know Mishnah, they know Halacha, they know Talmud, they know Hashkafa, they know everything. They're sholim. Charedim means those that listen to everything that Hashem has to offer, the entire curriculum. They're with the program. Next. Amu Achechem, your brothers. Who are your brothers? Elu Bali Mikra. These are people that only study Chumash. Chumash, not even with Rashi. They just like to study Tanakh without any perish, which of course leads to many great errors. So Neichem, Elu Balei Mishnah. Who hates you? The people that only learn Mishnayis hate the people who are superior to them, who know Talmud. Next, Minu Deichem, those Mina Deichem, those that cast you away, Elu Ame Horetz, those are the ignorant, who know nothing. But they're all Jews. All different types of Jews, all different types of background. Shekol Elu Soinim Es Talmideichem, all of these people, they hate Talmidei Chachamim, they hate those that know more than them. People who know less, for whatever reason, they only know Chumash, they only know Mishnah, they only know they do not know anything, have a hatred for the Talmidei Chachamim who have mastered Talmud. Shema, Toimar, Posak, Sivram, there's no Hobotel, Sichuyam, Tamaloimar. So this is a beautiful twist. Venira Besimchasim, according to this interpretation, Venira refers to then. Not like we learned the simple interpretation, Venira means that the enemies. When we learned the simple interpretation of the Pasuk according to Rashi and the Mitzudos, the words Venira Besimchasim meant that they, the Rishohim, will be ashamed. Shamed. They will see the joy of the true Talmidei Chachamim. According to this interpretation, it's the opposite. V'nir b'simchasa means the Talmidei Chachamim who know Talmud will one day see the simcha of the Balei Mikra, the Balei Mishnah, and the Amoratzim, because the day will come when they will become also Talmidei Chachamim. The Balei Mikra will one day know Shas. The Balei Mishnah will also one day know Shas. And even the Amoratzim will one day know Shas. And then the Talmidei Chachamim will rejoice together with them. V'nireh b'simchasim, you the Talmidei Chachamim, the day will yet come when you will see in their joy. They'll rejoice together with you. Sha'akol yiru b'simchaschem af so'inechem. Everyone will see in your joy because they'll all be part of you. Shema toimar Yisrael yivoshu, tamalom mehem yivoshu, that who's mehem yivoshu, according to the Medrash, sha'nochem yivoshu, the only ones that will suffer shame will be the goyim, but the Yisrael yismichu, the Jews will rejoice. So according to the Medrash, we're discussing different segments of Klal Yisrael, different levels of learning. The day will come when ultimately everyone will become Talmidei Chachamim. Okay, let's go for it. Let's do a few more. Yeah.
It's done based on scholarship.
Right.
In other words, not classification. How much someone observed.
Right, exactly. According to the Medrash, everyone is observant. According to the Medrash, everyone is observant. Everyone is Shema Shabbos. Everyone really gets along. It's just a matter of scholarship. So you're jealous. The person that has a master's is jealous. The one that has a PhD. The person that has a PhD is jealous. The one that has a postdoctorate. Person that has a high school, is jealous of the one that has college. Everyone is jealous of the person that's in the higher level of education. The day will come when everyone will achieve the ultimate degree of education, Jewish education, and they'll all rejoice together, and the only ones that will be ashamed will be the goyim.
Remember the statement of Rish Lakish? He said,
Menachem and Amharetz? Rekiva says, when I was not Oretz, if I would see a Talmud, I would bite him like a dog, like a donkey. And the Gemara says, why did he say like a donkey? Why not like a dog? Because if a dog bites, then the person's bones will heal. The bite of a dog is not so intense. It's painful. But eventually, the person's bones will heal. But when a donkey bites a person, the pain, the break, the damage is so severe, the bones never heal. And Rabbi Akiva, when he was Nam Oretz, had such intense hatred for Talmidei Chachamim, when he would see a Talmid Chacham, he wanted to bite him like a donkey. And he first started to learn when he was 40 years old. So that idea definitely is brought out here in this pasuk. So two very interesting ideas of what's going to be Lias Lava. So let's now just jump very quickly. Now these two most beautiful pasuk. Let's listen again to the pasuk Yud. B'terem tochil yilun. Now this refers to the miracle, the birth of the rebirth, the renaissance of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, today it's acknowledged one of the modern miracles of time is that within today it's already I'm coming 65-70 years, but even when it was Eretz Yisrael, what they have built, what they have accomplished in even like go back when it was 30 years old, no country developed at such a fast rate like Eretz Yisrael. So it's compared with Terem Tochil Yilada. A woman normally when she gives birth to a child, it's a long process. She has to conceive. She has to develop a child for 9 months. And then she goes into birth pangs. And the birth pangs take a long time. It's a process. A woman goes into labor. It's a 24-hour process. It can be 40. It can be going for 3-4 days until she'll finally give birth. Here the Pasuk says that when Eretz Yisrael will be rebuilt, will kibbutz scolios, it will happen so quickly. Even before the woman has time to go into labor, she already gave birth. B'terem tochil, it's as if before you go into birth, into labor, yolada, she already gave birth. B'terem yavai chevela is another expression, which chevela of tochil, another expression for birth pangs. Before she goes into birth pangs, lehim lita zachar, she already brought forth a zachar. The zachar already has escaped her womb. This expression that a zachar has escaped is one of the sources of making a shalom zachar. Because it's called, himlita means, it means like you get out of jail. Person, you're in prison and you escape. And when you escape from a dangerous situation, it's cause for celebration. It's cause for shevach v'hoidah HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you have escaped. And that's what the Gemara refers to, a shalom zachar, or even a pinyan haben, depends on what Yeshua haben, the salvation of the child.
What about
also, you make a kiddush, you make a shevach v'hoidah, in Achnam, they discuss that. So you're asking a question of me, why does it say Zohar not in the cave? So Rashi answers your question, because Derech Klal, when a person gives birth to a Zohar, there is more Simcha. What did look a little in the Mitzudah, not Rashi, the Mitzudah says, why does it say over here a Zohar? But Rashi, the Mitzudah, Dibur HaMaskel, but Term Yavon, Pasek Zayin, Kof Ladav Bimilim Shoinais, Femilita Zohar, Yolda Zohar, Lufi Shetarbe HaSimcha, Beledas Zohar, Miledas Nekeva. That's the way it is in the world. Don't ask me, this is what it says. That there's more joy when a boy comes to the world than in the cave. Omar v'imlita zachar. It says, v'imlita zachar l'fi goydel hasimcha, a zachar escaped according to the goydel hasimcha. I don't know what this is. I just give you a maramokam. Rav David Kohn, he has a scientific analysis of the chromosomes of a boy and a girl. And he has a brilliant essay. If you look in the Sefer Oyel David, and he explains why by a zachar it's called the himlita. It's an escape. The way a boy is created over a female, according to the rules of science, there's something which has to come forward. Again, I don't know, you have to refer to there, and he has a whole analysis, and he says, it's mamash in the first pasuk, v'himlita zachar, you only can use the word himlita, which means to come forward, to escape, by a zachar, by a nekeva, would not be the appropriate word based upon the scientific analysis of how a gender is decided scientifically at the time of conception and of birth, whatever, how the child is formed. Mi shama kazois, is there anyone that heard such a miracle? Is there any nation from the time of history has heard such a miracle? Mi rokoil, who's seen such a thing? Hayuchal eretz b'yom echad, can a land give birth? Or yuchal means go into labor. B'yom echad, you know, is the entire land. When people give birth, not everyone gives birth at the same time. The hospital only has that many beds available for women that are in labor. There are, let's say you're living in the country, let's say in the United States there are 300 million people living in the United States. So how many are women? I guess 150 million are women, right? 50-50. How many of them are of age where they can give birth? So let's say, I don't know, 25 million. So do all 25 million women in the United States who are at the age where they can give birth, do they give birth on the same day? If all 25 million women who can theoretically give birth, would come to the hospital on the same exact day to give birth, there would be a big problem in the country. Because there are not 25 million doctors available at any given moment in time to help, to assist. The hospitals are not equipped for a run on 25 million. It happens over time. Today there are a couple of thousand. Tomorrow there are a couple of thousand. Everyone takes turns in when they will come to the hospital, when they will need assistance in giving birth. But Eretz Yisrael will be built so rapidly, it's as if Every woman who is of age that can conceive and give birth will come and give birth on the same day. Did you ever hear such a story? You ever hear of a country where everyone that can give birth is giving birth today on the same day? Hayuchal Eretz, can the whole land give birth b'yom echad? Im yivolid goy, can a nation give birth pam echos in one shot? But that's exactly what happened. The rebirth, the rebuilding of Eretz Yisrael, the kibbutz Golias, is so amazing, is so awesome. It's equivalent to this mashal. Ki cholo. That's exactly what's happened. She has gone into labor and she has given birth to her children one day. And Hashem says, you don't think I can do this? I can certainly do this. Will I bring a woman to the birthing stool? V'loy oilid, yomer Hashem. Just like I can start the process, I can finish the process. When I bring a woman into labor, I get her there to the birthing stool, the place where she gives birth, and I continue to assist her to help bring forth the child from her womb. I don't just leave her hanging. I don't bring her to the bottom of the ninth and then disappear and have her die in labor. Ha'ani ashmir, will I bring a woman to labor, v'loy oilid, not continue to assist her in causing her to give birth? Yomer Hashem, imani hamoilid, am I not the one that gives the hamoilid, which is the cause of birth, the otzarti? Would I hold back? Omar elokech, so says Hashem. Let's read the words of the Mitzvah, so we'll finish up. Pasuk test, ha'ani ashber, ha'ani avia so isha al hamashber, will I bring woman to the birthing stool, v'loy eftach rachma, shetelid rotzulaymar, shema aschil badav, v'loyucha ligmar, do you think that I'm only going to start something, I'm not going to complete it? Im ani hamolid, im omnam, ani hamolid, if it's true, that I am the one that has the power to give a woman the ability to give birth, es hayoledes, b'shema achshav e'otzar oscha b'tmiya, would I chas v'shalom at this point in time prevent or hold her back from giving birth? Ratzel leimar, haloi l'chol l'cho umois ani hu anoisin b'koyach b'yadam, I have given koyach to all the nations of the world in the past to accomplish. V'eich lo yetein ha-koyach b'yadchem, why should I not want to give Klal Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, the power to rebuild and to establish themselves in this world as I've done for the other nations? It's just a matter of time, a matter when you are worthy, and when the time will come, I will not hold back, I will bring forth for Klal Yisrael salvation. Okay, so we'll stop here. I think maybe tomorrow, maybe we'll try to finish up tomorrow. Okay, we'll see. We have to discuss.